Hello and welcome to day 4 and 5. This is the final part of the Tidbits Pod Mongolia Nadam Festival podcast series. I hope you enjoy it. Let's get into it. Alright chums, and welcome to the fourth and what will most likely be the final part of the Tidbits Pod Nadam Festival Mongolia Travel Special. And if you've listened to day 3, you will know that now I am back in Taiwan. And yeah, this is the catch-up of the last day or two in Mongolia, and I'm feeling fucking grim. You can probably hear it in my voice, but it's been a long old day of travels and whatever, and I'm very, very tired and still a bit ill. But yeah, as we speak, I am pretty much fresh from the bus, pretty much fresh from recording day 3, but let's get back to the start of day 4. And you've already heard what happened at the stroke of midnight or whatever, and the early hours of day 4, but this is after a sleep, so it's the proper day. So yeah, as mentioned, I've been up late the previous night with all the closing ceremony and whatnot, but for this day we were heading out to the famous, the fashionable, the big stainless steel statue of our good man, Chinggis Khan, our boy, the ever presence on this trip, actually. Everyone's house, everywhere you see Chinggis. It's, he's still very much the poster boy of Mongolia. And this was a good way to round off the trip, actually, because it was the last morning. And with the statue as well, so there's the huge, obviously the massive statue that you see in all the come to Mongolia posters or whatever, but under it, in the plinth, in the thing it's standing on, it's actually a museum. That's a museum itself. So the massive statue is on the roof of what's actually an interesting museum. So I was just thinking we're going to go see this statue in the middle of nowhere, take some pictures and then fuck off. But yeah, anyway, I'm getting ahead. So let's start off. We had woke up, breakfast, shit, shower, whatever order that was in. And then, yeah, we headed out to the countryside. And for this day, this was actually, so day 3, it had some sun, but it was still cold. But this one, day 4, blue skies all the way. And a bit of a warmer of a day, and it was just fucking nice. Like, yeah, it was great. So I was looking out of the bus window and taking in all of the green and the openness, and it was bloody gorgeous. Like, it was just, yeah, I don't know, it was really nice. Seeing all the rolling hills and all the camps and the small villages and stuff. And we're driving for a while, and for once there was no rain on the windows, so I could actually take some pictures out of my window and stuff. And over a bit of a crest, and then there he was, like the big metal Chinggis, sitting on his metal horse. He's got his whip in his hand, looking fucking sick. And on the way in, you turn through this, there's a big kind of, well, it's kind of like an art you know, Arc de Triomphe or the Brandenburg Gate style, like that sort of thing. But it's just got Genghis Khan written on it, and you drive through. And then it was time to explore. So you got to these, you got these big steps, and then there's obviously the huge statue in front of you. But we went inside the museum first, and inside there, because obviously everything's bonus at this point. I thought we were just going to see a statue and then take some pictures and bounce. But inside it had this, like a massive traditional Mongol shoe, which sounds a bit like an insult. Fuck off, you massive traditional Mongol shoe. I'll save that. I think I'll call that to little Jimmy Thompson next time I see him. I don't know why. But yeah, so this shoe, a world record shoe, might I add, and everyone was throwing money in it. I don't know why. But yeah, there were in there, there were paintings of all the Khan family, and just full of history. You know, they had a nice toilet, little cafe, some shops and that. Like, it's cool in itself. Like, you would go there just for the museum. But, yeah, oh, actually, yeah, here's what I think. This is a little top tip if you're planning to go. When you get into this museum, when you get into this, you know, under the statue and whatever, you've just got a gun straight for the stairs, right? You can climb, like, there's a bit in the back where you climb up a little staircase, and then it takes you out, and you can actually walk up on the statue kind of thing, like up on the top of the horse. But the stairs, they're really narrow and it gets busy. So just gun straight up there. I did it anyway, just because that was the main thing I wanted to see, the view and stuff. But because I was one of the first to go up, I was just striding up. I was going like two steps at a time. It was easy. But by the time I'd come down, and we're only talking, what, like 15 minutes later, there was a person waiting on every step, like a massive, massive queue. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, you know, hundreds of people from all over the world, and they're all queuing up in this, they're all like in a big old Genghis Khan. And I was like, this is the most British thing I ever seen, you know, like, you know, just everyone just had the lovely British way, you know, so polite, so orderly. And it was just typical, you know, all of us Brits, you know. I know you're not from England, but of course, you know, like British. No one else queues like we do. But yeah, got up there and loved the view and stuff up there, and I was fist bumping Genghis, playing with that. And yeah, once you're up on top, you get to see all the little details of the statue itself. So it's not just simple metal sheets. Like, they've got all the fingernails and stuff. Like, it's really cool, really well done. And yeah, definitely pop in for a look when you go. And then yeah, so we spent the rest of the time in the museum and stuff, and here's some tidbits for you. Did you know that the Mongol Empire went as far as the Adriatic Sea? I didn't know that. That's Croatia and shit. So, like, the next time you're in Dubrovnik or whatever, on that coast, and you're getting your, you know, your Game of Thrones pictures and stuff, just know that you might be walking in the steps of fucking one of Genghis Khan's grandsons. Like, it's such a weird clash of worlds. And apparently as well, loads of Hungarians have really strong kind of cultural connections with Mongol culture, like sort of shamans and horses, and they share words and stuff. Pretty amazing, like the stretch and the influence of that era, whatever, is still very present in, well, pleasant and present in modern day Europe. Like, it's pretty cool. And yeah, one last thing, the Mongols, they never took Japan, because like both times they tried, they had thousands and thousands of soldiers ready. Like they would have just fucked up everything there. But when they were going over, there were typhoons. And do you know the name of the storms? 10 points if you do. These storms, they called them kamikazes, which kamikaze just means divine wind. So they'd had a fucking a divine windervention. And yeah, because they think that the gods had stopped the Mongols from coming. So yeah, the Japanese, they call it a kamikaze. And then it wasn't until after World War II or during World War II or whatever, there was a, I think there's a load of planes, and then they were called the Divine Wind, like as honour of this tradition or whatever. Yeah, because of what those planes did, like suicide missions or whatever. Now kamikaze gets used for that, or even actually it just means anything that's self-destructive or anything reckless, doesn't it? So yeah, weird how that changed. And it's probably, there's probably a whole podcast in that, but I don't know enough of the history. I've just kamikaze, the divine wind, that's pretty cool. But yeah, anyway, outside the museum there were, yeah, it was like everyone taking pictures and stuff. And then there was just a couple of lads with these massive birds. And of course, we're like, yeah, any birds in town? It's like, yeah, absolutely. Golden eagles. Eagles! And I ended up holding one, put the big glove on and that. And they're fucking heavy as well, like these big birds. And they're like, yeah, move them up and down. And I didn't feel nice doing that. But you have your hand out. And then you're supposed to like rock it back and forward, but I don't know why. But yeah, it was fucking cool. And yeah, that was the statue and stuff. And then we went off and we had lunch. And yeah, the only notable thing about that lunch was the lad, he was coming around and he was asking everyone if they wanted to have, like, he was getting everyone's orders or whatever. As you know, I love ordering people around because I'm so fantastic. But he was saying, right, do you want the traditional soup or do you just want to go straight for your main course? But the way he was saying it, he sounded like he was saying, do you want the Superman course? And for a second, I said, what the fuck's the Superman course? So he's going, soup or man course? Soup or man course? I'm like, Superman course? Soup or man course? And anyway, there's some fun there to be had. And then after lunch, yeah, Nemo, actually, after lunch, he just pulled out he had a practice bow in his luggage. And he had some arrows and that, like with the big baby tips on, so you couldn't do any damage to yourself. But yeah, we went bow and arrowing, which was fucking cool. He set up the little targets, which are just kind of, they're almost like little baskets or whatever. But we set that up and then I got really too into it as well. So I had my turn of firing the arrows and then I was like the arrow fetcher guy. So after everyone's turn, I was the one running off to get all the arrows and stuff. And, you know, and the arrows were skidding through horse shit. And but I don't know, it was just all of the fun. Because I was thinking Nemo had got the arrows out and stuff. So if they all expected him to go and run and fetch their arrows as well, then I thought that'd be a real dick move. So it's like, yeah, I'll be the guy that gets the arrows. I don't mind like making a prick of myself or whatever. And actually, side note about Nemo, good lad. But little fun fact, he's afraid of swimming. And yeah, I was trying to point out to him that it was funny that his name was Nemo and he didn't like swimming because Nemo's a famous fish, but there you go. He kept saying it was Captain Nemo, so whatever anyway. But yeah, so after we had our archery and stuff, bit of shenanigans, bit of target practice or whatever, we went on to the Turtle Rock. Rock! Went to this place, and yeah, guess why it's called Turtle Rock? It's because from some angles, it's a rock that looks like a turtle. So yeah, make of that as you will. And we went there for a bit, and then onto a monastery up in the mountains. And this walk, like, it was this beautiful little path and stuff, and then every few steps there were big billboard type signs, and each one had a saying or a prayer on it. And what you're meant to do is you spin this wheel at the top, and then whatever number the wheel lands on, that's the prayer that you're meant to, you know, give some thought. And here's mine, ready? So, you have been reborn again and again in this world so much that you have drunk an ocean of milk. What do you think of that? Is that plumbed into the fact that I like milk? It's no secret. But yeah, you've been born so many times that you've drunk an ocean of milk. So it's probably right, but whatever. Pretty self-explanatory or pretty self-baffling. But yeah, pretty cool. And the monastery itself, beautiful. And like every path, like whenever I'm up in the mountains or whatever, and you're on a trail or a path, even if you just see, I don't know, every electric pylon up on a mountain or whatever, I'm always just like well done to the lads that have put that together. Like, because I'm always there struggling on the steps, and then you look down and you think, shit, these steps are actually massive stones. And some fuckers had to carry all these up here. And you're just there, like, yeah, amazing work kind of thing. So really appreciated that temple and everything. And then after the temple, we left the national park and then headed back to the city. And yeah, that, 2 multiplied by 10 plus 1, that was the Mongolian tours done. And yeah, so they dropped us back, and, you know, I shook Nemo's hand and that. Like, it was really nice. And then for the rest of the day, it was just me. And it was fucking good because I could just drift around town, around Ulaanbaatar City. I was taking pictures and stuff. And yeah, what time would it be? So I think we got back into the city at about 5. And then I was just walking around till after sunset. So talking at least 10. Would have been way after, actually, because I remember I was sitting in this food court place. And of course, like, I'm on my own. And as soon as I was on my own, I just fucked up. Like, there was this misunderstanding. So I went into this street food bit with loads of counters and music and whatever, nice area. And I went up to one of the counters, and like the woman was nice enough, and so I just pointed at the food I wanted, and then she gave like a big thumbs up, and then she pointed at some seats. So I was like, oh, quality, okay. And then like I was getting ready, because I'd pointed at these nice sort of flame-cooked skewer things with a bit of salad. And I was like, fucking brilliant. Looks healthy, looks good. And then sat in the chair, and every now and again, I'm just making eye contact with her, so she knows I'm there. But yeah, 15 minutes, 20, 25. And it's busy, so fair enough. And then 30. And then the woman came by again, and I just mimed a little like, oh, how long now? And she smiled, so it's all good. And then 40 minutes, 50. And at this point, I said to myself, like, if the food isn't here before the hour mark, I'm leaving. And guess what? I left. So, such a waste of an hour. I was really, really looking forward to that, but I must have just fucked up or whatever. But because she was there, she kept like, I don't know, I think she was just happy that I was in her restaurant or something, but, or in her little bit. But yeah, it wasn't a complete waste of time though, because there was a band there, and, you know, I went and I got a drink from another little area and that. So yeah, not all bad, but a little bit of a waste. And for food, I ended up going to, it's the Mongolian version of Family Mart or 7-Eleven, and it's called Nice to See You. And the letters are C-U, and they're trying hard to be called the cunt shops. Like, so it's got the C-U, it's got the nice to, but yeah, it's nice to see you sort of thing. You're like, nice to see you? To see you, cunt. Brucey's play your cunts right sort of thing. It's probably founded by Bruce Forsyth. I don't know. Fuck off, you see you, auntie. Kind of thing. And, oh yeah, the key point of my little walk, my Mongolian drift, Fast and the Furious Mongolian drift, I went back to the government square bit. With the you know, their government house or whatever, with the Chinggis statue. And I was getting a picture there, and I was trying to do it myself, felt like a bit of a prick. So I ended up going up to this mad couple. Well, they looked normal at the time. And I was like, can you take my picture, and then I'll take your picture sort of thing. We did a bit of a trade-off. And then I took their pictures first, and then the girl, she was fucking quality. Like, so she took my camera, and then she was doing loads of like Instagram stuff, like zooming and getting the angles and shit, and doing a sort of like, you know, a sort of dynamic kind of here's me and then here's Chinggis sort of panning and stuff. And yeah, I was just like, oh, okay. Can I do the same for them? And she was like, nah. Like, she looked at me like of course you can't, you old dickhead. Like, I got that look. And it was nice. I got some good pictures with the statues and things. It was really nice. And then, yeah, I walked back from the Parliament Square all the way back through the theme park that I went to on day one. And the wheel, at this time, it was looking all sort of modern and cool and lit up at night. And it, yeah, on that first day, it was all grey and scary looking. But yeah, so it's nice the way perspective can change in a few days or whatever, or at least the lighting can help things. But yeah, then I got back to the hotel, packed, had got a bit of a snooze in, and then got a taxi back to the airport. And yeah, we were, there's a few of us going on the same flight or around the same time, so shared a taxi. And of course, this taxi wasn't as good as Boira, but we were, yeah, you know, it just made things nice and simple, and we had a nice chat and whatever. But yeah, Ulan Bator Airport, it's pretty small, so it's not as small as Taichung Airport, but it's kind of, you know, they are pretty much just dealing with one flight at a time. So it meant as well, because our flight was 6, or my flight was 6:20. It meant that, like, that we were just first in all the sections. So as soon as the baggage people were there, we were there sort of thing. And, you know, you catch the staff before they're in their full kind of flow state kind of thing. So the security guy, and the passport stamp guy, actually, they barely even checked anything. Because they're just like, fucking, yeah, whatever. It sounded like their throat singing. But, yeah, so they messed about in the airport for a little bit. And then it was my time to fly to Hong Kong. And, yeah, the route home was different. So on the way out, I flew from here to Seoul and then Seoul over. But on the way back, I flew to Hong Kong and then Hong Kong over to Taipei. But yeah, different route, but around the same time. And there's no real stories to note for the journey back. Only that, you know, if you've got the choice to enter from Korea or enter from Hong Kong or the other way around to leave or whatever, choose the Korean route because their plane is a little bit nicer. Like the Hong Kong one, for example, obviously it's fine, gets you from A to B, but there was no seatback entertainment and the Hong Kong plane was the old style plane. So the screens, you know, the ones that drop down from the ceiling and everyone's just got to share the same screens and they just show one thing. They choose a film for everyone. But then, you know, if you want to watch that film, you have to plug in your headphones to get involved or whatever. And yeah, actually, do you know what film they were showing from Ulaanbaatar to Hong Kong? Any guesses? Yep. Well, if you said that they were playing random episodes from a later series of Two and a Half Men, then you'd be correct. And if you'd gone further to say that, you know, the episodes they were playing weren't even joined together and they were from the era, you know, the shitty bit of Two and a Half Men where the boy had grown up a bit and they did that weird sort of morph in the credits at the start when he was going like, yep, man, and it would, the boy would grow in that montage. If you'd guessed that, fucking good on you, because you're right. And yeah, this is Two and a Half Men pre-Kutcher, pre our boy Ashton. But yeah, anyway, I slept through most of that flight and then got to Hong Kong. That was pretty smooth and I got some food from a fucking Pret. So yeah, nice bit of London nostalgia. And then yeah, slept through the next flight as well. And then slept through the bus back from the airport to Taichung. And that leads us up to now, so now in the timeline of things, we're basically at the end of day 5. So I've blended 4 and 5 together because the journey back was, well, yeah, it was a figurative and literal snooze fest. So yeah, and that's that. And I got in and did some bits and recorded number 3. And then I recorded number 4, which you've now heard. So bit of a change for this one, isn't it? And oh, speaking of change, actually, fuck. Like if any of you guys, if this has inspired you to go to Mongolia or if you know anyone that's going to Mongolia, please get, well, or, you know, if it's you, get in contact with me or whoever's going, because I've still got about £50 worth of Mongolian money. I remember I took out just a bit extra to make my, like, to get 1 million. Yeah, it was that extra 50 that I actually didn't fucking need. So yeah, and now I can't exchange it. So what you can do is send me a message or get them to message and I will sell them some Mongolian money at a good rate. But yeah, anyway, or if you know a way, do you know any sort of online exchange people, let me know. But yeah, thanks for listening. Subscribe to the Patreon. If you don't like subscriptions, you can just, I don't know, drop a tenner in the PayPal. Why not? But yeah, any liquid money you've got, share it around, man. Send it my way. I'm just a dude. yeah, trying to have some fun. So yeah, the links, they're all in the description bit. And for now, I'll say, I don't know, I'll catch you all soon for the next installment of Tidbits Pod. Thanks for listening. See you later.